Welcome to the Invest Smarter podcast, where you'll learn about the power of building wealth through real estate and how you can achieve financial freedom through multifamily investing. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions, How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. Now, here's our host, Simon Castillo.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Invest Smarter podcast. I'm your host, Simon Castillo. And today, you know, I want to talk a little bit about a question that I get asked quite often. And that is, what is the best way that I can get started investing in real estate? And I always answer that question with an answer that is, of course, depends. But today I'm going to give you a little bit more detail into how you can determine what the best path is forward in terms of investing in real estate for you personally. So hopefully with today's episode, you'll be able to answer that question for yourself. And I think, you know, many people that want to get into real estate investing and aren't quite sure what the best way to do it, I think, you know, part of the reason why they hesitate so much is just that they don't want to make a mistake right off the bat, especially, you know, young investors, early investors. They don't want to get into the business of investing in real estate and, you know, make a big mistake right off the bat. So I think the question of what should I invest in and why makes a lot of sense for people to spend some time thinking about. And there's, you know, there's a lot of confusion also among investors who are new with so much information that's available to them that they don't really, they kind of fall into the old, you know, analysis paralysis trap. They don't want to make a mistake. They want to get off on the right path, but there's just so much information that they have a hard time really kind of digging through that information and then applying some of that to what their own personal situation is and then making a decision based on that. So I'm going to describe, I think, what I think are three of the more common avatars in terms of people who want to invest in real estate, and then give you some things to consider and ask yourself some questions and be honest and be truthful with yourself, because I think those questions will help you to forge that path forward in terms of what is the best way for you personally to invest in real estate. So hopefully by the end of this episode, you'll have some peace of mind after listening that you can make the right choice about where to start and where you want to start at. So we're going to go through what I think, again, are the three most common avatars of people who are trying to get started investing in real estate, as well as, you know, walk through some of the logic as to what you should do. So the first avatar that I want to walk you through is the busy professional. So this is going to be a doctor, architect, lawyers, small business owners, corporate executives. These are people that are very specialized in their field and generally speaking are high income and don't have a lot of free time. And they usually are in what we call their mid-career. So they have a spouse. They likely have a couple of kids. So they're busy professionally and they're busy with their families. But they do want to invest in real estate. They do see the value that investing in real estate brings. A lot of these people have become frustrated with the stock market, and they know that real estate is a way that provides them with, you know, additional returns, additional diversification, as well as some additional income and safety. So the very first question that you should ask yourself is, do you have the time? And most importantly, perhaps, do you have the desire to become an active investor? And for most of those people that tell you that they're busy trying to coordinate both a business and getting their kids to soccer practice, and, you know, they have no time for extra hobbies. And I always tell people, you know, investing in real estate, it's not a hobby. It really is like another business. It's like running a business. It's like having almost another job. So, you know, don't take that for granted. Don't take it lightly that this investing in real estate as an active investor will take up time. So for this kind of person that's busy with a job, busy with a family, you know, they have their own things going on, having an extra job such as real estate investing, I think the answer to the question of whether they have time and desire to be an active investor? The answer to that question is likely no. So for this first avatar, this type of busy professional, I think that the answer as to where to start investing in real estate is going to be passive strategies. So additional questions that you should probably ask yourself as an investor is, do you need to have access to the investment funds? So usually busy professionals, they already have some type of a savings account, where they're saving money, kind of a rainy day fund in a safe place. They already have their 401ks, they have IRAs, and they usually have some after-tax money tucked away in stock accounts as well. So liquidity is normally not a concern for the busy professional. They're happy to invest for the long term and are willing to trade off access to the funds to get a better return, because regardless of where you start investing in real estate, for the most part, those funds will be illiquid for a period of time. So the next question for these types of busy professionals is, are they an accredited investor? And I've mentioned this briefly in other episodes, but just as a brief recap, being an accredited investor means that if you're single, you have income over $200,000. If you're married, you have income over $300,000. Or if you have investable assets, not including your primary residence, of $1 million or more. So any one of those three means that you are an accredited investor. Now, if you're not an accredited investor, you have other choices. One of them is a REIT, a real estate investment trust. That investing in REITs does not require accreditation. There's over 1,000 REITs to choose from, and there are lots of different categories that you can pick from, including things like self-storage, office, apartments, you know, whatever type of commercial real estate that you want to invest in, there's probably a REIT that'll match up with your criteria. So the next question is, how much do you have to invest? Are you investing $25,000, less, more? Do you have $100,000 or more to invest? So again, in this particular case, we're talking about busy professionals. They typically will have anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 to invest. You know, the most optimal situation for the busy professional would be to invest in a fund of funds or to go into a syndication. You know, syndication, we've talked a lot about on the podcast. So again, just as a brief recap, you know, syndication is where one general partner is looking to pick up a large asset, a large real estate asset. The general partners will be picking the project. They'll do all of the coordination, all of the responsible work, signing the loan. The limited partners, the investors, which would be the busy professional, they provide the funds. And for a little bit less return, you know, they don't have to worry about doing any of the hard labor on the project, any of the day-to-day management, or getting any of the day-to-day phone calls concerning that particular real estate asset. So if you have a social network where you know, say, you know, several syndicators, this could be a really, really excellent strategy for you. Now, there's not a lot of syndicators out there, so you have to know where to find them. Most people, though, don't know where to find them. And if you're new to real estate, you may not know which questions to ask, even if you do know a syndicator. So if you're inexperienced in real estate, it may not be the best case on a syndication. A fund of funds, though, might be a much better strategy for you because it's all figured out for you, meaning that the fund manager is the one that does all of the due diligence on the syndicators and the opportunities that are brought into the fund of funds. So in that scenario, if you're inexperienced, you don't know the questions to ask, and you need a passive strategy, fund of funds would make a ton of sense in that situation. Now, switching over to the second avatar, and this is also, I think, a very common avatar, but also a very different one because they're in a different phase of their investing career. So again, this will be a young professional that is making some, you know, a decent amount of cash from their income, from their W-2 income. They do have some family responsibilities, but they also recognize that real estate is a great way to get out and build some future wealth. And this was probably me, you know, 17 years ago when I first started. And I meet lots of people like this, and they're really exciting to work with. So the first question for this type of avatar is, do you have the time? And most importantly, do you have the desire to become an active real estate investor? Usually the answer is a pretty straightforward yes. Yes, I am. They're looking to start a real estate investing business. They don't need to have access to the funds because, again, they're willing to tie up some cash to invest for the long haul. So we're going to look at some active investor strategies. So the next question is, do you have at least average quality credit, personal credit? And the reason we ask that question is because you will have to qualify, more than likely, you will have to qualify for mortgages for properties that you are going to be looking to buy. And so having at least average credit, it will be essential if you go down this path. The next question is, do you have at least $50,000 to invest? And again, if you have at least 100 grand, more than likely for people that are on this path of active investing, you probably are going to need some, at a minimum, somewhere between $50,000 to about $75,000 to work with. And then the next question is, are you comfortable or do you have the desire to learn how to work with contractors that do renovation work? And that's a difficult thing. If you're one of the few people that have had success working with contractors and you're doing that and you actually enjoy, you know, managing and working with contractors, I think that's a valuable skill. I don't think a lot of people have that. But if you do and you want to sign up for it, you know, fix and flips may be something that you would be very, very good at because you can manage contractors, you can manage projects, and you have the desire and the time to do so. Now, for most people, though, when I talk to them and ask them about their experience renovating, even if it's just renovating a kitchen or a bathroom, they're like, I'm never going to renovate anything ever again in my entire life. That is what I usually hear. So if you go to the no box, you don't enjoy working with contractors and you don't want to work with contractors, there are options, other options in terms of what you can do. And you can buy, you know, homes and hold them either as short-term rentals or long-term rentals. And again, I can speak to this because this is exactly where I was, you know, many years ago when I first started. My first house was a rental house. I converted it, bought it, renovated it, and converted it into a long-term rental. And so at that time, I said, yes, I did have to work with contractors in order to complete renovations. Eventually, I did also some fix and flips. And so I continued to work with contractors and continue to improve in my ability to manage contractors and to hold them accountable for the work that they were responsible for. I think what's important in this phase is that people understand that your investing strategies will evolve over time. So regardless if you start as an investor using a passive strategy, or you do actually come out and have a more active strategy where maybe you're doing some fix and flips or some long-term rentals or short-term rentals. Over time, you know, your strategy could evolve, and that's perfectly normal as you become a more sophisticated investor. And that actually is a segue to the next avatar, the third avatar, and that is an active real estate investor, someone who owns rental properties, maybe has done some fix and flips. So they're still a busy professional, but they are a seasoned, experienced, active, full-time investor, even if they have a job on top of that. But they have an active real estate portfolio of long-term rentals, short-term rentals, or again, maybe they've done some fix and flips and other types of strategies, active strategies along the way. But over time, even seasoned investors will find that as their net worth is building up, you know, their conditions change. They're getting busier. Maybe they look to evolve and shift their investing strategy. And this is also something that I've experienced, you know, over the years. As I accumulated rental properties, as I completed projects, fix and flips, and some new development, I also found myself trying to find ways to become more efficient. So I do talk to a lot of investors that are in this situation. They're seasoned. They have 5, 10, 15 years or more experience as an investor. And now they're a little bit burnt out on it. You know, it's not as easy to find good investments in this market because prices have gone up. So investment properties aren't as attractive. So in this case, you probably, you have the time, you have the desire to be an active investor, but it's also a situation where you've been doing it for so long that it's not as attractive of an opportunity as it was when you first started. So for these types of investors who are becoming a little bit burnt out after having done it for so long, I think this type of avatar needs to start looking at some passive strategies, things that they can do to diversify their portfolio away from simply being an active investor. So again, going back to some of the same questions we asked before, Do you have money to invest? Do you need access to the funds? Most people in this situation, they're seasoned investors. A lot of them will already have a W-2 job as well. They probably have a rainy day fund set aside. So there's a good chance that they don't need immediate access to their funds. They can invest for the long haul. Again, in many cases, these types of investors, again, will be accredited. So it comes down to, again, to picking the type of passive strategy that makes sense for you as an investor. Now, I mentioned earlier REITs, real estate investment trusts. So let's talk a little bit about REITs versus syndications versus fund to funds for a minute, because we're talking before we started about some interesting things about REITs and how they operate. So first of all, you know, REITs have a couple of, I think, really powerful features. First is that they're extremely liquid. Most REITs trade on stock exchanges. So you can buy REITs if you have a brokerage account with a Schwab, a Fidelity, you know, one of the brokerage houses like that. You can buy and sell REITs through your brokerage account. They're extremely liquid. You can sell them on short notice. You can get your money out, and you don't have to be an accredited investor. I think the drawback, though, is just that there are so many REITs, you know, thousands of them to choose from. So which one should you pick? It can be kind of overwhelming trying to find the right one to pick from. Another drawback is that I don't think that REITs are going to perform very well over the next 5 to maybe 7 years. And the primary reason for that is, you know, when you look at what interest rates have done over the last, you know, 18 to 24 months, it has just, they have risen so quickly that the value of assets over the next 5 to 7 years, I just don't see that there's going to be enough appreciation in those assets, commercial assets, commercial real estate assets. There's not going to be enough appreciation for REITs to perform very well. And then maybe a third reason that I'm not as big a fan of REITs is that because they trade on stock exchanges, they're highly correlated to the stock market. So for me personally, one of the biggest advantages of real estate is that it's not correlated necessarily to the stock markets and other financial markets. But REITs, just because of the nature of how they trade on the equity exchanges, they do tend to be highly correlated with the stock market. So if the stock market is down, chances are the REITs will also be down. And likewise, when the markets rally and the markets are up, REITs will also tend to be up. So you know, the reason why syndications and a fund-to-funds model can still be a great choice is because those entities are not out there buying an asset that's in good condition to hold it as a type of fixed income producer like a REIT does. You know, REIT is not out trying to find value-add properties. REITs are trying to find income-producing properties that will spin off reliable income, you know, on a quarterly basis, for the most part. Syndications and fund-to-funds are looking for opportunities that are value-add. So they're looking to buy distressed assets that need to be fixed and repaired. Now, this strategy of value-add strategy, this strategy tends to work in almost all market cycles because you can control the value that you're putting into a property based on the renovations that you make. And of course, you have to buy at the right price. So going into the next few years, that's why I still think that syndications and the fund-to-funds model will be an appropriate strategy, you know, given where we are in this economic cycle. So then for those of you that are looking to invest passively, the question then becomes, should I invest into a syndication or a fund-to-funds model? And of course, the answer is, it depends. So if your social network brings you into contact with syndicators on a regular basis, that's an incredibly viable strategy for you. And I think a very exciting one. A lot of times I just find that most people who are busy professionals don't know that many people who are in real estate full-time, and they may not even know a syndicator at all. So I mean, you may find one from a referral from a friend, and maybe you can meet them and evaluate that one, but that's not enough. That's not enough to evaluate just one syndicator. You may not know if that's the best one. What type of development experience do they have? What type of acquisition experience do they have? And personally, can you ask them the right questions to assess whether or not that syndicator knows what they're doing? And is is the project that they're working on or that project that they're bringing to you as an investment opportunity, is it viable? Will they be able to communicate what are the things that can go wrong? You know, what are the risks involved? And then what are the mitigation strategies should any of those things occur? Now, if you feel confident that you can ask those questions and you are in a network that you will come into contact with several syndicators, then I think, you know, syndications can be a great bet for you. And I've been investing in real estate for over 17 years. I've built some properties from the ground up. I've done syndications. I've done long-term rentals and short-term rentals. So I'm comfortable interviewing a developer, a syndicator, and asking them the tough questions, but most people may not be comfortable doing that. So I put syndications out there because there is a small niche of you for whom it'll be a great strategy. But then again, for the majority of you out there, it may not be that great a strategy. And I think that's where the fund-to-fund really comes in. And, you know, it's basically a fund-to-fund is a mutual fund of syndications. So what a fund-to-fund does is it does all of the due diligence for you, because the fund manager will be the one out there interviewing the syndicators, out there underwriting the opportunities that are being brought into the fund and picking out the best ones, and then making sure that they're broadly diversified across different markets, diversified across different asset classes, and even different strategies. So if anyone out there wants to get more details into investing passively or even actively, if you have questions, you know, the best way to get started again is to head over to our website, sastexascapital.com. There you can download any of our free resources on multifamily investing. You can sign up for our newsletter that comes full of tips and tricks in investing into real estate, all different kinds of strategies. So head over to the website, sastexascapital.com, download any of our free resources, sign up for our newsletter, and that will get you onto our email list that will notify you when investment opportunities become available. We're always looking for people who would want to partner with us on these types of real estate investments. So again, get onto our email list and that will get you in the know when new opportunities become available. Now, if you found value on this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It just goes a tremendous way to continue to help to grow the show and to attract the type of guests and content that you as a listener both want to and need to listen to. And share the episode with a friend, someone who has the same questions as you do about how to get started investing in real estate. This is a great way to get them also educated and help get them started. Share the episode with a friend also would be a tremendous help to the show. So again, thank you very much for spending these few minutes with me again today, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the Invest Smarter podcast, the show that educates you so that you can take control of your financial future. Be sure to rate the show 5 stars and leave us a review. Make sure that you're subscribed so that you automatically receive the newest edition of the podcast when it's released. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate and taking control of your financial future, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions: How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. And be sure to sign up for our mailing list to receive exclusive investment opportunities straight to your inbox. It's time to invest smarter. That's sastexascapital.com.